the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.
Hairspell, an audio drama by Terry Windling, Faye Heald, Sarah Hesketh, Inga Thompson and Sarah Cullinane. Part 1, An Invitation.
There's a chill in the air when I wake this morning. Summer will be over soon. The hedgerows are full with fruit, blackberries, rose hips, rowan. Won't be long before the bracken shifts from green to gold.
When she comes like wine, flooding my veins with her roses. And when she comes, I feel her dark ask, pressing its shade to my skin. I let her.
Moon will be full in 3 days' time, and every creature on the moor is affected by its swelling, including me. I feel as old and creaky as the house around me as I make my way down the winding stairs, across the hall, to the farm's big kitchen, and stir up the fire in the hearth. There's always a fire, summer and winter, leaching Dartmoor damp from the thick stone walls and drying herbs and medicinal plants that hang in bunches from the ceiling beams. My table is buried in books and papers. It's never tidy now Ivy's gone. I've lost the knack of domestic order during the years I've lived here on my own. "You go feral without me," she used to say, and turns out she was right.
And when she comes, we leap like flame and turn up our hearts to the moon. And when she comes, she leaves me wanting, forcing our parting too soon. I let her.
Close by my teacup, there are three brown envelopes, addressed, stamped, and ready for the post. Yeah, they've been sitting there for days, maybe longer. Time doesn't seem to mean much, living out here in the wilds of the moor, and I've lost a knack of tracking it. I watch the moon, not the clock. I can go days without speaking to anyone now. Anyone human, that is. There's a scratch at the door. I rise to open it and, oh, Malkin comes skulking in. It's a tall, skinny dog of no particular breed. One eye gold and one eye blue. Someone dumped her out of a car 7 years ago and she's been here ever since, haven't you, girls? I never liked dogs, being what I am, but this one's a good old girl, aren't you? She doesn't hunt hares or bother sheep. She comes and goes just as she pleases. Yes, we are neither of us easily tamed. While I make my breakfasts, I'm thinking about those letters. Oh, I should have sent them out by now. And I don't quite know what's holding me back. See, I've picked the recipients carefully. Three women, each brilliant in her way. A poet, a songwriter, and a scientist. Now, the poet writes very well about the natural world. Yeah, I've been reading her since her very first book, wondering if she might be the one. when she wrote that cycle on hairs for her last collection, well, then I knew. Songwriter, well, it was an easy choice. Folklore and folk music share common roots, and oh, she sings as though intoning a spell. She too might be the one. Now, this scientist, I puzzled over her. I've been thinking about an artist instead. That one that lives on the coast of Wales and seems to have magic in her bones. But this young biologist wrote a piece about hairs in a scientific journal that I only read because Ivy used to love it. Yes, underneath the precision of scientific language, there was... I don't know, it's just something else. Wonder? I can't quite name it. Something that surprised and moved me. Yeah, I knew at once that she would be my third choice. Each woman will receive an invitation, or as Granny Weir would say, I am sending them the call. I'm following the rules given to me, passed from woman to woman through the generations, handed down in this specific way in a line you can trace from Isabel Gowdy to, well, to me. See, I am a folklorist by training, a tradition bearer by oath. I will keep the tradition intact. Yet, it was all so different when I was called. I'd already met old Granny Weir, so when my old brown envelope arrived, it didn't seem quite so strange somehow. I hadn't seen her in many years, of course, not since I was a child evacuated from London to Dartmoor during the war, but oh, I remembered her. I remembered this farm, and I always wanted to return. I'd already published one folklore text and I knew there was a wealth of untapped lore on Dartmoor I was eager to find. Yeah, also, I had Ivy then. My work colleague, my friend, my love. Not that we were a couple openly then. Not like women can be today, but... she came with me and gave me courage. She didn't really believe it all. Not at first, but she believed in me. And I believed in Granny Weir, even when that trust was tested. But, you know, like I said, it's different now. The women I'm writing to are strangers. Why on earth would they ever trust me? They'll think I'm mad, won't they? I say to Malkin, who's resting her head on my left knee. They'll think it's lunacy, won't they? Throw the letters in the bin and that'll be the end. But in fact, I am certain they will come. They don't know me, but I know them. I've studied their work and I know that each has a true knowledge of the deep essence of hair. Call will bring them, like it brought me. Oh, it will hook them like a fish. Yeah. Come on, Malcolm. Come on. Be a good girl.
Bracken shifts from green to gold.
I shall go into a with sorrow, sigh, and amigo care.
It starts with a letter, as stories rarely do these days. I subsequently discover that it was sent to three of us. Me, Catherine, and Ealing.
My name's Molly Briggs, folk singer, folklorist, believer in weirdness and the sublimely odd.
Then there's Ealing. Sincere, mysterious, a poet, a writer of beautiful words, more in touch with herself than anyone I've ever known.
One morning, a brown envelope dropped through my letterbox. On the envelope, handwritten, my name and address and a slightly smudged symbol depicting a hare. The text inside read simply, "I know more about hares than you will ever know. I can show you what it feels like to be a hare. I can answer your questions and help your work. RSVP for details." And so I replied, of course. An address in Devon, a name I found only sketchy reference to when I spent an hour Googling and flicking through online journals. How did she find me? Who is she? Why does she want to help me?
And there's Catherine, a scientist. A should-be sceptic about all things magical and otherworldly, yet a lover of hares. She studies them. Camps out in fields in the dead of winter to observe and photograph them. Knows more about them than anyone I've ever met. Pick any one species, chart it over time, and you'll learn a little about the degradation of our planet from a perspective other than our own selfish viewpoint. Catherine chooses hers.
I don't know how the note found me, really. Getting a piece of post to successfully cross the university campus is a dark art in itself. But there it was. A piece of the extraordinary, lurking right there in the neon-lit normality of the staff room. I'd made it halfway down the corridor back to my office before I noticed the thick and creamy card, just nosing a little out of the bundle of student essays and department reminders. The dark, unmistakable silhouette of a hare. Catching my eyes, it reached the top of the pile.
I never get post anymore. Not nice post, anyway. The Christmas cards, birthday cards for the kids. My nice post is a gardening catalogue. Not quite the personal touch, but at least it's something. Then this arrives, a brown envelope, handwritten. The only handwritten things I get are scanned from local MPs going for that authentic touch. But no, this is real.
I reply, ask for more details. She writes back with this.
Look up the legends. Seek out the folklore. It's all there. Stories and myths developing independently all over the country of women who can turn to hares. So many of them. Can't possibly be a coincidence. Oh, read about Isabel Gowdy.
A real handwritten letter with a hare on it. I've been shouting about my mythical creatures song project on Twitter, so it's hardly a surprise that a fan might send something they think I'll find interesting. They give me envelopes or carrier bags at gigs, bootleg tapes from backroom 1960s folk clubs,
a dossier of research they've compiled on the Lincolnshire Song Collector. I rarely have the time to look properly. But all these gifts are hand-delivered at gigs. They don't come through the post. I never share my address. So what is this? And how?
I dare you. Oh, this will truly be the most breathtaking, wonderful, awe-inspiring night of your life. You will have it forever as a memory, and your work will become stellar. Oh, just say yes to my proposal. I dare you.
You dare me? What is this? Some challenge, an ultimatum? My work will become stellar. It's not too shabby already, thank you.
Call it a challenge, call it a gift. It's whatever you want it to be, but oh, don't miss it. Don't miss it, whatever you do.
I read it twice, three times to make sure I've not misunderstood anything. It can't be serious. But this is just nonsense. Like crazy people on YouTube who think they've seen aliens. Nonsense. I share it with a colleague and immediately wish I hadn't. Does she mean... she can't mean that. Can she? It sounds stupid even as I say it, but I can't help myself.
Yes, it is. A woman who says she can turn into a hare. Righto, sure. Read a lovely peer review on that one, just last month.
You and I both know that science doesn't have all the answers. But let's assume it's not true. But it's... she's interesting, right? That she should go to all this trouble for something this mad. Why bother?
Why bother being crazy? And writing weird letters to people she doesn't even know? I don't know. But if you're that concerned, why not pass it to the psychology department and see what they make of her? Honestly, Kath, you're a scientist, remember? Reason, proof, facts and all that.
But put aside the turning into a hare thing, just for a minute.
Oh yeah, just put that aside.
I mean, look, local knowledge, right? Folk wisdom, local traditions, weather patterns. We know there's valuable data to be taken from that. If she's lived in the area her whole life, if she knows the landscape, then that's worth an interview, right? What's the worst that happens? I get two nights paid for in a hotel on Dartmoor. I take some samples whilst I'm down there. I come back with a good story for the pub.
Or you get abducted by a crazy hair lady and I never hear from you again.
Unlikely.
We'll see.
Okay, so it's a bit weird. Definitely someone who knows my work but doesn't properly know me. She knows where I live, for God's sake. I find it a bit threatening, actually. Not quite the nice post I was hoping it might be. A bit bossy, trying to be intimidating, got the upper hand. Not sure I like that. Then again, it is a bit weird, and I do like that. I'm not threatened, I just don't like being in the dark, not knowing. And I do love hares. I'm busy, but this is the kind of thing that leads to things. Best to keep options open. I'm not signing up for anything, but I might as well reply, just to see what it's all about. I can back out later. Never say no. You don't know what you're missing out on.
Breaking the ring of the M25 feels like freedom in itself. Mirror, signal, manoeuvre. I pull over into the middle lane. I gently depress the accelerator and feel the pleasure of the tug on the engine. Then push sideways and forwards again, surging into the fast lane. I have always felt at my most adult when driving. The muscle memory of the gear change is a uniquely physical act for me. One of the few things I do with my limbs that I don't even have to think about for a second. I was never a sporty kid. Always picked last for the rounders and netball teams. Always convinced that time spent in the library was worth double that on the running track. For For most of my life, I've lived in my brain, not my body. But this... what am I doing?
I'm not quite sure how I got here. Sitting on a train to Devon. That letter, that innocent letter, with a simple RSVP. Once it's in your admin trail, it just creeps along. And all of a sudden, the event's in your diary. It's a week away, a day away, and then you're buying a ticket and you're on the train. If the letter had said, come to Devon for 2 days to talk to a madwoman who wants to show off all about hairs, I would have easily, politely but firmly, said no. But something hooked me. Can't back out now, it's on a Google Cal. Anyway, the train journey will be nice. And a hotel for 2 nights. Plus, and this is rare, I don't have to do any prep because it sounds like she knows it all already.
Was that a kick? A movement? I'm 4 months gone. I shouldn't be Skyping off on adventures. Shouldn't be exposing myself to excitement. But I know my body better than anyone. I'd arm my baby more through sitting at home getting bored. I breathe as I feel the train accelerate. The buildings of West London giving way to fields and open skies. The gentle lullaby of wheels on track. Lullabies. Nothing to do but think and read for a couple of hours. The recurring dream finds its way back into my head. The three hairs in a circle around me. One white, one brown, and one a march hare, signifying what? Madness. Confusion. Is reality catching up with my dreams or vice versa?
My expertise, my interest, as academics are fond of saying, none of that is going to count. Or is it? Order? Lagomorpha. Family? Leporidae. Genus? Lepus. Hairs are unique among mammals in having jointed what we call kinetic skulls. They have 48 chromosomes while rabbits have 44. Hairs are born with their eyes open. Will I even remember any of this when I trade in my own unwieldy skeleton, feel the kick of someone, something else's muscles and bones? What will it mean to move? To survive? A group of hares is known as a drove. I put my foot to the floor. Enough. Plenty of time for all that when you get there. For now, just enjoy the road.
Away from my desk and my calendar, relaxing into the train journey, I feel the layers of scepticism melt away as we race through the countryside. You are interested in hares. You're writing an album of songs about mythical creatures. Be big enough to listen to someone else. Have an opinion and see where it takes you. Open up, listen. I think I'm softening, warming to this adventure and all of its possibilities. The racing blur of trees and hills seemingly dissolving the pressure of what I should be doing and shutting down the desires of the moment. I choose overpriced tea and a dry cake from the trolley. It's a long way from Sheffield, but I enjoy my picnic on the go. As England rushes past, its green, wooded mysteries filling my imagination.
The call has been answered. It is all arranged. My poet, my musician, my scientist. Oh, all three women have made their plans and will arrive here soon. I shall meet them at the Three Crowns Inn in Shagford, and then, if all progresses as it should, I'll lead them out to the moor at moonrise. Yes, the rules have been followed. The tradition has been honoured. But, Goddess have mercy, it wasn't easy. I rarely use a computer, I'm not on the phone, so I communicate by written letter, as any civilised person would. And the younger women, they find this extraordinary. So I'm some relic from the distant past. At first, I was simply relieved that they were coming, but, well, after the surge of relief came panic. Oh, what on earth will they make of me? I had an idea that I'd invite them here to my cottage, give them something a bit more authentic. Is that the word they use these days? To mean real? I don't know. So I looked around at my old thatched house and I suddenly saw it through strangers' eyes. And, if they expected to meet some mad old witch in Devon, my housekeeping would certainly confirm it. Yes, I then spent a whole week cleaning and scrubbing, sifting through piles of mail, farm tools, old bills and out of date magazines, putting books back on shelves and hauling endless boxes of junk to the recycling centre. Underneath the mess, I found the bones of the lovely home that Ivy had made for us. A vision of the artsy, intellectual couple that we fancied ourselves and used to be. But since Ivy's death 40 years ago, I've lived alone, like Granny Weir, growing isolated and, yes, I'll admit it, more eccentric with every passing year. I never meant to replicate my mentor's life. Oh, I'm a folklore scholar, not a witch in the woods, but, with my long white hair, my shabby farming clothes, and my half-wild dog, and my entirely wild house, I see now that I am a little odd. So, in a fit of latent respectability, I take a broom to the floor, a brush to my hair, and, even give poor old Malkin a bath. Which, I don't mind telling you, Malkin detests, naturally. My mentor, Doris Weir, had always been alone. Doris was a spinster, not a widow. She was called Granny as a title of respect. She was known from the north to the south of Devon as a herbalist, a cunning woman, and a keeper of the secret ways that fewer and fewer remember anymore. Although she was young when she was called, she was known as Granny from that time forward. Oh, I'm the one known as Granny now. To those who follow the old country ways, Granny Whitehorn at Swiftfoot Farm. Oh, how that name used to make Ivy laugh. And yet, I confess, I am proud of it. I mean, it's no small thing to be a keeper of tradition. Now, one of the women I've called to Devon will take the title after me. And soon we will know who it will be. My own calling is almost done. Yes, I am, believe it or not, 82, and it's time to pass it on. What will life be like afterwards, I wonder? A voice in my head whispers. I quickly push that voice away. I'll still be me. A folklorist and a moorlander, a reader, a writer, a lover of the wild. The essence of me is not going to shift, but... my hands are shaking and... the air seems a little colder.
She comes like wine, flooding my veins with her roses. And when she comes, I feel her dark ask, pressing its shade to my skin.
Can I help you?
Yes, I have a room booked. The name is Jones, Catherine Jones. And I'm due to be meeting Sally Whitehorn here at 6 o'clock. Do you know where I might find her?
Ah, yes, you're expected, Catherine. If you'd like to go and join the other ladies in the back room, Sally will join you shortly.
The other ladies? I thought it was just...
There are two other ladies. They're both through there now. Would you like us to bring you through a drink?
Yes. Red wine, please.
Certainly, Miss Jones. Make yourself comfortable.
Hi. I'm Catherine. I understand you're both here to meet Sally.
Yes. Hello. Come grab a seat. Travel far?
London. Not too bad.
Oh, me too. Hello. I'm Elin.
I'm Molly.
Listen, I'm a bit confused. I thought it was just me.
Don't worry. We thought that too.
Turns out Sally has created a little gathering.
And you're both here because of the invitation, the letter?
Yes. Kind of irresistible, wasn't it?
Well, we're all here, so I guess it worked. Curiosity got the better of us. You're both into hares, then?
Yes. I write about them. Molly sings about them. And you?
I study them, their ecology, and photograph them, and... I know it doesn't sound glamorous, but I camp out in fields and woods in the middle of winter to watch them on frosty mornings.
That sounds gorgeous. Magical.
It has its moments, certainly. There are times when my fingers are so cold I can barely press the shutter. When my breath mists up the viewfinder, so I have to take a picture on feel and instinct. But those pictures are the best. The most incredible. The miracle, as I call them.
Oh, God, that sounds like the first note I sing at a gig sometimes. Shivering with nerves so much I feel I'm frozen to the floor, and then, through intuition or something, my voice pitches perfectly and...
The words just flow, and the next thing I know, the blank page is filled with words. just the right words. I haven't even had to think about them.
I hope you don't mind I snuck in and heard you speaking, and you just confirmed in one line each that you are exactly the women I hoped you'd be. Oh, I can't tell you how happy you just made me. Oh, welcome. My name is Sally Whitehorn.
What did you make of that?
Did she mean what I think? I guess I thought it was a figure of speech, becoming a hare. Like she would make us think the way hares do, so we could understand them better. Not, well, what she seems to be proposing.
Turning into hares? Is that what she was saying? I can't quite. Weirdly, it's a recurring dream I have. Of hares and becoming one. I know that sounds very strange.
Really? And you've written about hares, haven't you?
Yes, poetry and prose. I love them. Something about them possesses me. And I don't just mean the dream. I'm mesmerised by the thought of them. It's hard to explain.
And I'm just here to remind everyone that whilst this gathering is lovely and informative and turning out to be really enjoyable, no one is going to be turning into anything. Science doesn't really allow for that sort of thing.
In spite of what Auntie Witchy Woo was trying to convince us.
Auntie Witchy Woo? Oh, that's good. Is that from a children's story, Catherine? If not, perhaps we could get Eileen to write one for us,
Oh! Where did you come from? I thought you left the room.
Oh, it's a side door just behind you. It's got hinges like butter. Totally soundless. And besides, you're on Dartmoor now, Catherine. Things are different here. See, science, as you know it, doesn't always apply. Oh. Are we all hungry? Oh, you've ordered a bottle of red for the table. Would anyone prefer white?
Trying to get us pissed so we all believe we've become hares.
I think it might take a bit more than a glass of Malbec, but hey.
Okay, I'm recording this on my phone as a sort of video diary. Just in case I'm, never seen again, and someone finds my phone and cracks the password and finds this file and plays it and believes what I'm about to say. Okay, I'm doing it for myself. Just to record the moment. So, the mad old lady, her name is Sally Whitehorn. Utterly crazy, but also lovely. And she makes me feel really comfortable. The mad bit is that she has proposed she turns me and these other two women she's lured here into hares. Yep, she lives the life we all read about, and apparently every new moon turns into a hare herself and wants us to experience it. It's interesting, actually. These other two are a writer and a scientist. Hares are as important to both of them as they are to me. I've heard of the writer, and I've read a bit of her stuff. It's lovely, if a bit weird, to meet her. The scientist, Catherine, now, is new to me, but she knows my music, and what she doesn't know about hares isn't worth knowing.
At the tone of Sally's voice, a deep movement of recognition within me shifts subtly and cavils at me silently. My baby knows her voice and adjusts herself too. Sally is crouched at the shoulders, indicating her advanced age. She intuitively knows each of our challenges.
Eagerly, I drink in every word she utters. I shrink lower with the percipient. I know at once I have been granted a refuge denied to others. I sense a lineage, a history, layers of history and myths stacked within her. I see too that she is scarred with the adversity she has known, both mental and physical. And Catherine says she's done too much mescaline, and we laugh, good-naturedly, but to me, she's a glamorous, matriarchal figure. A seductive dungeon master. I can't take my eyes from her. She's mesmerizing. I believe her when she tells us that the forest is our mother, providing us with a fortress should we run into any trouble. I believe her when she tells us we can become hares.
It's been beautiful to talk through all of the things we find interesting in hare myths. Really getting inside the stories, the diverse characters, the range of feelings everyone might be feeling at different times. It's not a linear tale, it's a lived experience. I was aware of Isabel Gaudé. One of my new songs adapts a version of the spell she allegedly used to turn herself into a hare. She was tried for witchcraft in 1662. And it seems she just stood there in the courtroom and confessed everything she was charged with. Just volunteered information as though she had nothing to hide. As though turning into a hare was the most natural thing in the world for her. It's all on Wikipedia, so it must be true. She even recited the words of the spell she used to change herself at her trial. Just like that. No shame. No embarrassment. In my head, I'm drawing this line from Gaudí right through to Sally and to us. It scarcely seems credible, yet here we are. The lines between credible and weird are blurring. I'm not sure which side of them I'm sitting on anymore.
We got quite into the parallels with women's experience and all the metaphorical aspects flitting between the actual story of the hare and how that might affect us as people. We talked about how we are always changing as people anyway. Life is metamorphosis. Change defining life. It was mainly just the three of us, in fact. Sally stayed pretty quiet, smiling to herself. I think she is pleased to have brought us all together.
This evening is apparently the time for transformation. I'm not sure what Sally has planned for us. I expect some kind of ritual will be involved. We're going for a walk anyway. I've got quite in the mood talking about it all. I do believe the imagination can open you up to incredible new things, but am I believing this in my head? Or am I being swept along in this tide of like-minded people willing something incredible to happen? It's not exactly the date where I came looking for, but makes for a wonderful feeling of shared experience. And I'm starting to feel that alone has made this trip worthwhile.
She talked about passing on what she calls the gift. She talks about the calling. She talks as though our meeting this whole weekend represents some sort of destiny, the fulfillment of some prophecy that no one but her seems aware of.
Please subscribe to Alternative Stories in any podcast app to have part two delivered to you the moment it is released. In part one of Hairspell, you heard Amy Forrest as Molly, Sarah Golding as Sally, Stevie Skinner as Elin, Nadia Winterboyen as Catherine, Mary Claire Wood as Amy, and Chris Gregory as the hotel receptionist. Hairspell is written by Terry Windling, Faye Heald, Sarah Hesketh, Inga Thompson and Sarah Cullino. Editing and collation by Chris Gregory. The original soundtrack for Hairspell is by Inga Thompson and Faye Heald. The instrumental soundtrack recordings you heard are written and performed by Inga Thompson. Copyright Inga Thompson and commissioned by the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. The songs When She Comes, written by Faye Heald and Sarah Hesketh, and Hairspell, Traditional, arranged by Faye Heald, are taken from the Topic Records album Rackline by Faye Heald. Copyright is held by Faye Heald under exclusive license to Proper Music Publishing Limited. We would like to thank Faye Heald, Topic Records and Proper Music Publishing Limited for their kind permission to use these tracks. The musicians on these tracks are Faye Heald, Sam Sweeney, Rob Harbron, Ben Nichols and Ewan McPherson, and production is by Andy Bell. Direction, sound design and production of the audio drama is by Chris Gregory. Casting was by our writing team. Sound effects are from freesound.org. The presenter of Hairspell has been me, Holly Sangster. Please subscribe to the podcast to have part two delivered to you the moment it is released next week. Here's Kelly Winkler with some more information about the creators and collaborators of Hairspell.
We hope you've enjoyed part one of Hairspell. Part two will be out on Friday, 25th of September. So subscribe now to make sure you don't miss the magical conclusion of our story. In each of our Hairspell podcasts, we'll be bringing you a little more information about some of the creators involved in writing and performing the story. This week, we'll focus on the writing team. Uniquely in this drama, we used a team of writers each creating and writing one character in the story. Terry Windling is a world-renowned fantasy writer, editor, and folklorist from the United States, now living in Devon. A 9-time winner of World Fantasy Awards, she has also won the Bram Stoker Award. Her blog, Myth and More, is a regular must-read for lovers of folklore and fantasy. For Hairspell, Terry has created the character of Sally Whitehorn, a modern-day witch living on Dartmoor, where Terry herself resides. You can find out more about Terry and read her Myth and More blog by visiting www.terrywindling.com. Faye Heald is a folk singer, folklorist, and academic living and working in Sheffield. Faye has released 5 solo albums and is part of the acclaimed and award-winning Full English Project. Hairspell is Faye's first venture into writing for audio drama, and it was inspired by songs from her new Topic Records album, Rackline, which explores magical creatures and their mythology. 2 songs from Rackline, Hairspell and When She Comes, appear in our drama. You can find out more about Faye and order CDs of her albums by visiting her website, fayehealed.com. Sarah Hesketh is a poet, teacher, and editor originally from Lancashire and now living in London. Her collections, Napoleon's Traveling Bookshelf in 2009 and The Hard Work Box in 2014, received considerable praise in the poetry community. Sarah is part of the Modern Fairies Collective alongside Terry and Faye, and wrote the lyrics for When She Comes, which appears on Faye's new album, Rackline. She has written the part of Catherine in Hairspell. You can read more about Sarah's work at www.sarahhesketh.co.uk. Sarah Colino is a poet and short story writer originally from London, but now living in the northwest of England. With a couple of previous appearances on Alternative Stories under her belt, Sarah's poetry has appeared in a number of journals, and she performs at poetry nights and on her YouTube channel. Her short story, The Hares of Horsenden Hill, published by Mookie Chick in 2020, was the inspiration for the character of A-Line in Hairspell. and we'll be sharing it with you in full in a future edition of the podcast. You can follow Sara on Twitter, where she posts as @Sara1978. Sara is spelt with two R's. And from here, you'll be able to link to her work on other sites. Part 2 of Hairspell will be out on Friday, the 25th of September. And as part of that podcast, we'll be telling you more about our composer, Inga Thompson, and about the actors appearing in the production. We'll post all the links we've mentioned in our show notes, and we'll share more details about Hairspell via our social media, where we post as @storiesalt on Twitter and as @stories.alt on Instagram. Please subscribe to Alternative Stories if you haven't already to have part 2 of Hairspell delivered to your podcast feed the moment it's released. Thank you for listening to Hairspell Part 1, presented by Holly Sangster and me, Kelly Winkler.
The Alternative Stories and Fake Realities Podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.